Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 93rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Gael Steve Dati. He's from Pointe Noire, the port city of about 700,000 people, the second largest city in the Republic of Congo. Located directly on the Atlantic Ocean, Steve has lived in Maine for a year and a half, and I welcome you to New Mainers Speak today, Steve.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your life growing up in the Republic of Congo. And I'd just like to say here, this is not the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Just the plain old Republic of Congo.
Yes.
Next door neighbors.
Yes, next door, yeah.
North.
Yeah, north.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us what it was like growing up in Congo. What was it like? What did your family do? And what was it like being a kid there?
Yes, so my family stayed there, and my mom, she do like cooking the bread in Africa, in Congo. And my father was doing construction, and yep, that's it.
And is that construction like of large buildings with concrete and iron bars, or is it more of housing?
Yes. So he was doing construction for the bridge. So they're building the bridge and the building, the house. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
How many of those do you have?
I have three brothers and two sisters.
And were you all pretty close growing up?
Yes, we are so close. It's because I'm in America, and so we just talked on the phone or Facebook. So we got.
You're still close with them?
Yes, I stay close with them. So I thank more of them for them, and so I think they think about me too.
Yeah. Of course they do. Yeah. You haven't been here that long.
Yeah,
they're just adjusting to life without you.
Yeah,
which must be hard. I mean, you can't see him, but you probably can hear his smile.
Yes,
it's big. You would be a real absence in a family.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Yeah. So Pointe Noire is known for oil and fishing industries.
Yes.
Was anyone in your family connected with either of those exports?
Yeah, sure. I have my cousin. He do fishing. And sometimes I was helping him to do that, but I'm scared for the ocean. So, yeah.
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 When the fishermen come back, what do they bring with them? Do you know?
Yeah, they bring more fish, but I don't know if the name is, I can't have the name in English.
Can you say it in French?
Yes, its name, les sundi. Yeah, see, it's French, it's Congolese name. Yeah, so in French is sol. And so it's America, in America, I don't know.
Soul, S-O-L-E?
Yes.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, same here?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's.
Oh, I love soul.
Oh, thanks. I love that too.
Yeah, I bet you miss the fresh fish there.
Oh, yeah.
And we're still on the Atlantic here, but it's a little different, folks. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. the weather is an interesting topic. I think when I was looking into the Republic of Congo's weather, and even Pointe Noire specifically, here it is. On the very coldest day, the coldest night, it gets down to 69 degrees. And on the hottest summer intense day, it gets up to 85.
Yes.
That's a really tiny little range of wonderful, perfect weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So.
And so what are your impressions of the temperatures here? What do you make of our crazy mercurial?
Yeah, so here is
weather.
It's too cold. So when I think about my first snow here, it was too cold for me to go outside. So I was just stay home watching TV and talk to the phone. So, but when I tried to go outside this winter, so I think it's gonna be okay for me now. So
your first winter was hard.
It was hard. Yeah, it was hard.
What did you think of that snow the first time you saw it?
Oh, I was happy my first time to see snow. I was happy and take a lot of picture. But this snow, I don't take picture. I did not.
Was the snow as you thought it would be? Was it? Did you think it would be as cold as it is?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The snow's crazy, isn't it? We like to play with our snow.
Yes, yes. It's he was very nice for me to play with the snow my first time. Yeah, yeah. I really like it.
So life in Pointe Noire, what was that like? You spent a lot of time with friends and going to school. And what
yes.
did a daily, what did your life look like on a given day?
So the first I was liking to work with friends, go play soccer, and go to school together, say something if it don't work in the community, and doing something, you know, like try to help people to know how's going on, or if some people don't have the opportunity to speak out. And I was the leadership in my high school, and the friends was calling me 1:30. It's because I was the first guy who was talking out with everybody. If something is not working, I say, hey, you guys, that is not working. You need to go tell the teacher and, you know, something like that.
Yeah. So you're saying they called you one?
Yes.
Because you were kind of their number one guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my mom loved that name. She said, oh, why I don't give you this name before you're born?
Right.
Or when you was born.
She was thinking Gael, but it turns out your real name is One.
One, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
So tell us about your schooling that you had in your town. I think this is particularly interesting. And tell us what that looked like for you as a high school student.
So first, he was so hard. It was so, so very hard. But I think right now, the people who stay there still doing that hard job. So when I was in high school, so we went to school. My classroom, he was like 200 student or 205 student. 205 student in one classroom. So imagine if we have 50 classroom and each classroom have 200 people, students. So that's crazy.
It's really actually quite hard for me to imagine.
Yeah.
So you have benches and they are filled and you have 200 students.
Yes.
And one teacher.
Yes, Kat. One teacher. So if you have, we have like four teachers a day, history teacher, math teacher, geography teacher or music teacher. So we have four teachers, but not all teachers can come the day. So like you can have like two teachers a day and another teacher can call you to say, hey, you guys, I have some another class to my home, like home class. So you came to my home, bring this. So I'm going to give you the class home and you're going to pay every month like 10 or $20 dollars, so, you know.
So I think what you're saying is there was public education.
Yes.
But there were 200 people in the room.
Yes.
And so you don't learn very much.
No, you can't.
So then you pay your teacher and go to his home. You pay him $10 a month and
yes.
he'll give you private tutoring.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yes.
So it was like half private, half public.
Exactly.
But they say it's public.
They say it's public. It's free, but it's not.
It's inadequate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any textbooks? The books for school. Did you have a stack of books?
No.
For all those students?
Yeah. So when we went to school in my country, Congo, so the teacher don't tell you, hey, you guys go to this book, go read this page or something like that. No, we don't do that. So he just came, he have his homebook and he go do the copy and sell for each student like $10 or $5. So, you know.
So you have to buy your own books or copies?
Yes, for copies. But it's not the original book like in America. So,
you had 50 classrooms with 200 students?
Yes.
And you sat on benches?
It's
Are there chalkboards? How do they transmit the information to you? Just speaking?
Yeah, just speaking.
Wow.
Yeah, he knows. He knows you cannot understand him, but he's just speaking. He speak, he done, he closes his book, he's gone. And it's you, the student, to go behind him to see, hey, teacher, please, I don't understand something like this. So he's going to give you his phone number, come to my home. You know, I will show you how it's going on, how you're going to pay. So just same as I was talking to you.
Turns out to be a pretty good business, lucrative business for the teacher.
Very business for the teacher.
Truly unbelievable. What did you and your friends do for fun growing up there?
Yeah.
Because I know your friends are important to you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So we was going for the camping, going different village, see the people, or try to help some people who doesn't have like waters or something to eat. So I have the friends in Congo, the parents have money, and sometimes they tell me, hey guy, we have like $50 here, so we don't have something to do here, so can we go to next village? We go see people. Or I have the picture on Facebook too, so something like that.
That's cool. So your friends' parents would give you some money to go help villagers?
No, they give money to the kids, and the kids say, Gael, can we go help the guys?
Oh, the kids wanted to go use their money to help people that didn't have clean water.
Yes. Wow. Yes. But it's not all people, but some good people do that, but, you know.
It's like your own Boy Scout troop.
Yeah.
Were there Boy Scouts where you grew up?
Yes, he's in Congo too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know they were up in Libya. Who knew? I didn't know Boy Scouts were all over the world until I started doing this show.
Oh.
So you are listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak, and I'm Kate Manahan. My guest today is Gael, or Steve Tate, originally from Pointe Noire in the Republic of Congo. He's been making his way in Maine for a year and a half, learning English, finding work, and making local friends. So let's talk about your work, Steve, or Gael. It turns out Americans had a hard time with Gael.
Yes.
And so he's gone with Steve. I understand you are a very hard worker, and I wonder where you learned to be such a hard worker.
So I learned to be a hard worker. It's when I was first in Congo. When I went to school, and after school, you don't have something to eat. So you need to go do something outside to make money. So when I learned that in Africa, and my father was telling me, I don't know who gonna stay with you when I'm gonna die. So I learned something like that. And when I came to America, I say, yes, I'm a refugee in America, so I need to be focused for what I'm going to do. And that's why I want to work hard to make a better life and live good in Africa, in America.
Great. And can you tell us what you do for work?
Yes. So I was doing scaffolding. So now I'm doing construction, and I have my homework, like I'm doing painting too. So it's my home business, and I like people to maybe call me and tell me if they have some job to do. I can do that for them. So
I love that. People ask me all the time for referrals, how to get in touch with guests that have been on my show. And so if you're looking to have a room painted in your house and you would like Gael or Steve to come paint your house, how would they get in touch with you?
Yes, my phone number is very easy. It's 207-272-8192. So, or you can go on Facebook, check One Steve Tati, and just email me. It's not my home, it's not my website for the painting, but it's my home, my personal Facebook. But you can email me on Facebook, or just give me a call or leave me a message. I hope to give you a call back.
Great. And I will put that link on my website as well.
Thank you, Kat.
So when we met, I could tell how important relationships were to you. You spoke about how much your friends meant to you back home and how much they've meant to you here. And can you say more about friendship and the role it plays in your life as an immigrant?
Yes. So the friendship is something very good for me, and that's why when I came to America, the first person to help me was the friendship. So I went to church and I met my best friends. She's named Roxana and Peg. They are so very good for me. It's my family right now. It's my family. I cannot call them friends, but you know, it's America. You need to spend the words good. So it's my family right now. I love them. They love me. So they are the only one I can knock the door every time I want to knock the door. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So you met them through your church?
Yes, to my church. Yeah.
You've probably met a lot of people at church, huh?
Yes. Yes. A lot of people. Yeah.
And then can you tell us what the church is?
Yes, the church is on I Street, close to West End Hotel. So I just forget the number. It's St. Emmanuel
Louis?
Church.
Yeah.
It's
Emmanuel Church.
Yeah, uh-huh. Emmanuel Church. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you came and right away met up with some Mainers who saw what a fabulous young man you are.
Yeah.
And they just adopted you.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget Orson. Orson Pigeon. He's the best tattoo.
Pigeon, yeah. Yes. He's a former guest here,
yes.
Orson Horkler.
Yes.
And he is a featured guest at the Maine Historical Society's show as well.
Yes. He teach me some stuff too about painting too, and he's a nice guy. Yeah, he's a nice guy, yeah.
And that's how I met you.
Yes.
He introduced us at that very show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just met on the street with him, but today it's not the street now.
That's right. And your picture's actually on the street, on Congress Street right now.
Same street we met with Orson.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So not far from the library in downtown Portland, the Maine Historical Society is holding a 400 Years of New Mainers exhibit. And Pigeon has sketched some people and that he knows that he thinks of as Mainers, and he got to hang them outside on the bricks. And it was fun. When I first met Gael, he was standing next to his picture and
taking picture.
Yeah, we were taking picture of you next to your picture. Such fun. So what are your hopes and dreams for the future? What are you looking for your life here in Maine?
So the first, when I came from Africa, I was thinking I can go to the hospital, do something for hospital. But the good thing is I want to be manager in construction, or the big one I have and I hope to do it's to be the Navy guy, like work in the U.S. Army or U.S. Navy.
Yeah, so you're still young, and when would you be eligible to join the Navy? Do you know?
So, yeah, they told me I need to be in Maine like 2 years, and after 2 years, I can go there and apply, and they're going to tell me what step to do, and, you know, yeah.
Wow, I think you'd be a real asset to the U.S.
Yes.
Navy.
I hope to go, but I think it's in July. Yeah, this July is coming, so I hope. I want that to go fast, so I want to go to the Navy. So if somebody hear me, please call me. I want to go to the Navy. I love to save America, people.
What about that big ocean? I would have thought you'd be more of an Army guy.
So, yeah.
Gael was saying that when he went out helping his cousin in the fishing boats, that the water was kind of daunting and scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Bigger boats.
That's why I never know how to swim, but Roxana tried to teach me how to swim, so I hope to learn more to her.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah, once you learn to swim.
Yes.
You make friends with the water.
Yes.
Though it's still a powerful force. So, what else can you tell me about your life in Maine and what you've noticed about culture in Maine that's so different from home? What kinds of things, when you're walking down the street, make you know you're in Maine and not in Pointe Noire?
Yes, so many, many, many things. So, you know, the street is First, it's clean, and the town is very different. It's beautiful, and every people is quiet and talk to everybody. And if something is wrong, they let you know. And if you do something wrong, they let you know. So, you know, some stuff like that, because I don't have too much time to explain step by step. But, you know, so that's why. Because if I show the picture, so I did. But if you go to the website, don't look Pointe Noire for the city, but look Pointe Noire the street, you're going to see how dirty is it. So
it's dirty. Is it unsafe in Pointe Noire?
So it's safe when you have money. It's not safe when you doesn't have, also when you don't have money. So that's the problem. So if you don't have money, it's fine. You can go do something, you know. But if you really don't have money, that sucks. That's not good. So
because you don't know how to feed yourself day to day.
Yes.
The question every day.
Yes.
What will I eat?
Yes.
What will I do today?
Yes.
What can I bring back to my family?
But the deputy came. They says, I want to help people, but they don't do it.
The deputy is like the leader?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But they're supposed to do, but they just came, they buy the rice for the people. What people going to do with the rice? The people need the job. They need to be safe. They need to be work on the street who's clean. The people need to do their stuff, like really good stuff. It's better for the life. That's why the people, when they, you know, if I send like one picture on, I take picture on New York or in on Times Square, send Africa, say, hey, I'm on Times Square. So the people are going to say, wow, that's look nice. Why are they going to say that? It's because their street is not good. So.
A contrast there.
Yes.
One thing people are doing on the streets of New York and Maine and Pointe Noire is walking around talking on cell phones.
Yes.
Can you tell us about cell phones in Republic of Congo?
Yes. So your cell phone is, but it's not like really nice, like really nice or the original telephone. It's like a copy of telephone made in China, come in Africa and sell to the people like $20 or $50. And it's not like the really iPhone we have here in America or the really Samsung made in US. So it's very, very different. So
there are about a billion people in all of Africa, a little bit more. And there are 600 million people that are subscribers for cell phones. It's a huge industry there.
Yes.
And it allows for banking and other kinds of things. Did you ever use your phone for telebanking?
In Africa, no. But my first time to use that, he was just here in America. He's here, and the system for the bank in Africa, it's very different from America. So it's in Africa, it's just you work, you make more money, and you say, okay, I cannot put my money at home. I need to put that in bank. That's it. That's really necessary for the bank in Africa. If you have like the project to build something and you go to the bank, say, hey, guys, I need some money, like credit money, and I need to build some project, so you guys can help me. The bank don't kind of say yes. They're going to say no.
You don't get loans do here.
Yes, you don't get that. So it's very bad. It's not good. That's not good.
It's part of the whole infrastructure that's
still
coming along.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Steve, you are a joyful person with a bright smile and an easy laugh, and I really have enjoyed getting to know you this week and
wish you
all good things with your painting business here in Maine.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you. No problem.
And listeners, thank you for joining us as well. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Gael Steve Tati. Would you be so kind to introduce us to the song you've chosen today and help us know why you selected this song?
Yes, this song is for my mom. She's right there home. I think she wanna listen to this song. It's for her. She's named Roxana. And please, mom, listen to this song. It's for you.
Very nice. So this is Adele's Hello.
Yes.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the